This is lesson HBS 164, and the title of this lesson is The Lay Ministries, Part 7, Ministry. This is the very last sub-ministry under the Ministry of Helps that we'll be studying, because we've studied the rest of them. And as it will soon be apparent, I've left this one last for a special reason. Now let's go back one more time and read 1 Corinthians 12:28 and Romans 12:6-8. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. That, folks, is our text for the ministry of helps. It's mentioned this one little time here in the New Testament as one of the offices in the body of Christ. And this little word helps, this little five-letter word, means so much, as we found out. Now let's find out what this little word means. Let's turn now to Romans chapter 12, where this ministry of help is amplified even more. Romans 12, verse 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. He that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Well, we've talked about all of these sub-ministries under the ministry of helps in some detail in previous lessons. And we only have one more ministry, and it's called ministry, to study in this group. That's the very first one, which I've left to last, called ministry. This, folks, is another one of the sub-ministries, I believe, of the Ministry of Helps. Now, let me just say this. If you've not yet found yourself in all these lessons that we've done, please pay particular attention to this ministry called Ministry or Serving, which includes all the rest of the ministries there are. There are no more, folks. If you're not in the full-time ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, and you haven't yet found yourself in one of the other sub-ministries under the Ministry of Helps that I've already discussed, then you, by default, will be in this last ministry called ministry or serving. Now, let's look at this word ministry. Ministry here, as used in Romans chapter 12, verse 7, is the Greek word for ministry, is called diakonia. Diakonia. This is a very broad term in the Bible, this ministry, or this diakonia. Much as the term helps in the ministry of helps is a very broad term. Diakonia is the Greek word from which the English word deacon comes. It literally means one who serves. One only needs to look at the ministries and outreaches in the typical large local church to see many categories of ministry to those in need. So you just look at your local church and see the ministries are set up in there under the pastor, all the different ministries there are. These really are sub-ministries under this ministry of helps called ministry. And there's a lot of people in this sub-ministry called ministry or serving. So I've left this to last because if you haven't found yourself, as I said, in the full-time ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, and probably many of you haven't, then there's these other sub-ministries under the ministry of helps, five of which I've already described. If you haven't found yourself under any one of these, then I recommend you look very closely at this last one called ministry, because I'll bet you'll find yourself right here. Now, we've discussed before how in the full-time ministry, certain people will have different gifts of the Spirit to assist them in their ministries. And so what we're going to see here, what we see here, is that these part-time ministries, these sub-ministries under the Ministry of Helps, and also this ministry called serving or diakonia that we're talking about today, also can be accompanied with gifts of the Spirit that will help those minister in these various sub-ministries. So just as in the case of the full-time minister, gifts of the Spirit can be evident in all the sub-ministries as the Spirit wills. You can't just dredge this up on your own, but all the gifts of the Spirit can be manifested through these sub-ministries. So that means, folks, if you're in a part-time ministry, you have a regular job you go to during the day, then you may find that the Lord uses, as He wills, these gifts of the Spirit to assist in your ministry. All right then, knowing that this gift called ministry in Romans 12:7 is a sub-ministry under the ministry of helps, we have learned a few things. And I'd like to list what these things I think we've learned, kind of bring you up to date of where I think we are in this lesson. Number one, we've learned from the Greek word diakonia, we've learned that the people who have this gift serve others. Number two, it's not one of the full-time ministry gifts, or it would have been included under the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. Number three, it therefore must be a part-time ministry, which would fit in with the other part-time sub-ministry gifts we've been studying in Romans 12:7 and 8. Number four, it must be, though, distinct from the other sub-ministries under the ministry of helps, since it is separately mentioned. Number five, we also know from previous lessons that every member of the body of Christ has some ministry. And I won't go over that again. We've covered that. And number six, therefore, we must ask, what part-time ministries that serve others have not yet been mentioned so far in our studies, and what members of the body of Christ have not yet been identified as a ministry group? And that, folks, would be what falls under this sub-ministry under the ministry of helps called ministry or serving. Now, the next thing I'd like to do is go into the Word of God here a little more deeply and look at examples of the sub-ministry of this ministry or serving in the Bible. And for the first example, I'd like to go to 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus saith the Lord. And now we're not going to go into what the prophet said here, because that's not what we're after. What we want to see here, one of the main first uses of the music or worship ministry in the Bible. The music or worship ministry is a very valid ministry under this sub-ministry called diakonia ministry or serving. So one of the sub-ministries under this sub-ministry might be the music or worship ministry. Sometimes when the Lord wants to move through a full-time minister or a teacher or pastor or something like that to preach the Word of God, it really, really helps to have an anointing there to begin with. That is brought about by someone in the music or worship ministry. Remember, now let's go back and read this verse 15 again. Here's the amplified version of this. Now bring me a musician. And it came about, while the musician played, that the hand, which is means the power, of the Lord came upon Elisha. He said, thus saith the Lord. Notice here that Elisha asked for a musician. He asked for someone in basically the worship ministry that had a reputation of being able to bring the hand of the Lord on the scene through worship. And so he said, before he prophesied, bring me a musician. This is kind of unusual, isn't it, to think about. And he didn't just start prophesying, just saying, thus saith the Lord. He said, bring me a musician. And it came about while the musician played that the hand or power of the Lord came upon Elisha. What would that be? That would be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of the Lord came upon Elisha, and then Elisha said, thus saith the Lord. And so, folks, the music ministry, or the worship ministry, whatever you want to call it, is a very, very wonderful ministry that really helps full-time ministers. Not only does it help us to worship the Lord in the Spirit and in truth, as he asks us to do in John chapter 4, I think it is, but it also makes it easier for the minister that follows up to preach the Word of God with anointing. And I've noticed that a lot in teaching. Sometimes I've had music ministry before my teaching, and other times I just got up and began to speak and teach. And I'm not saying that when I didn't have the music ministry there that the teaching fell flat, but I've noticed some special anointings at times where the music ministry or the worship minister got up to minister before I began to teach. It just seemed like the anointing was there, and you could just start off with a bang and power right away, and you knew it. You could just feel it inside you before you stood up that the hand of the Lord was upon this minister, and that when you got up, there was going to be power there in your teaching or preaching or whatever it was. And so, folks, this is a very valuable ministry. Now, this does not mean that every time somebody gets up to sing in the church or in a local body, that it's going to be anointed. It doesn't mean that at all. It simply means that we have to have a ministry or a group of people that minister in spirit and in truth. And so that means the worship ministers, whoever they are, must be completely worshiping the Lord. The whole congregation needs to be in this atmosphere of worship for it to really help the full-time minister or the preacher, whoever's going to come on next to preach, and to get the Lord on the scene. Now, sometimes this does not happen because, sad to say, the group that's ministering is really not ministering to the Lord in spirit and truth, but is rather performing. And when the hearts of the people in the music ministries are turned to performing and looking good in front of the people and doing it just right, to be looked upon with favor by the people in the congregation, it never comes out as well, folks. This needs to be worshiping in spirit and truth, where the whole hearts of the worship ministry are turned to the Lord. And then the Lord will come upon the scene. He knows the difference between worshiping in spirit and truth and people just performing. And so I'll leave it at that. But the music or worship ministry is a very valid ministry under this sub-ministry called diaconia ministry or serving. Now, what would be another one? Well, anyone who assists those in the full-time ministry would fall into this group. Let's look at Acts 6 and learn something new. Acts 6, verses 1 through 8. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. There's that word, diaconia. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve, diaconia, tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out upon you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now that would be full-time ministry, wouldn't it? We will give ourselves continually, talking about the 12, that had the ministry of the apostle, we're going to give ourselves continually, full-time, to prayer and the ministry of the word. In other words, God did not want these full-time ministers to be sidetracked by getting tangled up with ministering to the widows in this daily ministration of food and so forth. And so he moved upon them to appoint other people to do this so they could give themselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. This is just showing us that one of the ministries of these sub-ministries will be to assist the full-time ministry. And this saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And so we see here that these people that were chosen to serve here, these seven men, were chosen to minister for their faith and being filled with the Spirit. And so that is two things that will enable the Lord to use you in the sub-ministry he calls you to be a person of faith. In other words, how do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you need to be in the word, you need to be staying in the word, and you should be filled with the Spirit. That's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This enables the Lord to use you more easily. This serving ministry here you see here that meets the needs of the people in these areas would also today include those ministries set up in the local church, such as children's ministry, youth ministry, worship ministry, teaching Sunday school, and really any other ministry that assists the full-time ministry in the local body. What's another Bible example of this sub-ministry called ministry or serving? Well, we could look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40 to see another group of ministries that would fall under this sub-ministry. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now listen. Then shall the king, that would be Jesus, remember here it's talking about the Son of Man, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now listen. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we hungry? And when did we feed thee, thirsty, and gave you drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? Now listen to what the king, Jesus, says. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done this for the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now, what we see here is our various things that God is going to move on us to do in this world to help other people. So, in this subgroup of ministry or serving, we'd see feeding the hungry, taking in those who need shelter, providing material needs to those who have very little themselves, visiting the sick, prison ministry, all those kinds of things Jesus is talking about here. And he's saying when you fulfill this ministry, you're not just ministering to this people, but you're doing it unto me. Now, let me make something clear here. We're all supposed to respond to these opportunities that arise in our lives to help others, to minister to others in these areas. But some are going to have a special calling in one or more of these areas. Like, for example, some will have a special ministry such as a prison ministry, or ministering food and other necessities of life to the downtrodden and needy, or visiting the sick or those in prison. Those who are called to, say, the prison ministry, or helping the homeless, or many other ministries, will often have a hard time understanding why all Christians don't have their same empathy that they have for these particular people, and feel this consistent, virtually daily urge to respond to these needs. God calls people to these various ministries, as we're talking about here. And as I said, he calls all of us to help others in need as we see it. But some will have this special calling to minister in these ways. And I have found that sometimes those that are called to minister in these ways get very caught up in what they're doing, and they should. But they get caught up in the sense also that they think everyone should have the compassion they have to minister to the homeless, or everyone should have this special empathy to visit those in prison or something like that. And they don't really quite understand that God has given them this special empathy and this special concern for those in these specific situations, simply because he's called them and anointed them in this particular area. He's gifted them in this area to help, say, in a prison ministry, or help the homeless, or help the ones that are hungry, or minister to visiting the sick, or something like that. Now, as I say, all of us are called to do this on occasion. But some have this special ministry, and I found it to be true that sometimes they don't quite understand that all of us don't have this special calling to the degree that they do. And so, folks, if you're called to one of these ministries, don't be critical of your brothers and sisters if they don't have the same intense concern you do in these areas, because you have this in large degree because God has given you this heart for these specific groups of people. Now, in Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 29, we see another interesting ministry here that would fall under this sub-ministry called ministry or serving. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 11 and start at verse 27. And in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them, that means one of the prophets, named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth, that means famine, throughout all the world, which came to pass then in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So here we see a case where a prophet stood up and signified a great famine was coming. And then these disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to help the people that were under this famine. So one of these sub-ministries under the ministry of serving could be sending material help to those in need due to famine or maybe even war. This might be a ministry that provides sustenance or even a temporary or permanent home to refugees that are adrift in the world due to war or famine. And so, folks, this is another ministry, helping those who are fleeing from war or helping those that are undergoing famine and making sure and sending help to them and ministering to these kinds of people. Today we have large organizations that do this. We have churches that get behind this. But we also have people who have a heart for this, that are called by God to help these poor people that are undergoing this hardship in a time of war in their country or are undergoing a famine. And so this is another sub-ministry under this general sub-ministry of serving. Now let's just take another look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll look at not this whole passage, but specific verses here. I think we'll look at verse 1, 6, 7, 12, and 13. And this would be fall under the heading of ministering to the saints or believers' material needs. Now let's look. Verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. For as touching the ministering to the saints, there's that word diakonia again, it is superfluous for me to write unto you, Paul's writing. For this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Verse 12, for the administration, there's that word diakonia again, of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Verse 13, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, there's that word again, diakonia, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto others and unto all men. So here we see another sub-ministry under this ministry of ministering. Minister. Sounds kind of confusing, doesn't it? But under this sub-ministry called serving, which is under the ministry of helps, we have ministering to the saints or believers and their material needs as well, and not just the world, but also to other believers. Remember in verse 1 it says here, for as touching the ministering to the saints. And what did they do? They sowed of what they had to those that didn't have enough to meet their daily needs. And God provides a special promise here. He says, if you sow and obey me in this way and do so bountifully, you will reap in your own lives bountifully. So let every man, according as he purposes in his heart, that is, as God puts it in your heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. Now we're all going to be called to be givers if you're a believer. But some people have a special ministry that goes beyond the normal. Now, number 6, I guess, would be sharing your home with foster children would fall under the sub-ministry of serving. And I'm just quickly cover a couple of scriptures here that this might fall under. Because there's a lot of people that are being called in the body of Christ. I've seen it my entire life and much also in the recent years, where people are called to share their home with children who are either uprooted from their own home because of problems in the home, whether it be drugs or alcohol or abuse of some kind, where these people are placed with foster parents. And this is a wonderful way for people who are called to this ministry to share the love and the ministry God's given them with these poor children that have really a messed up life through no fault of their own. So sharing your home with foster children would fall under this sub-ministry of serving. For scriptures, I would recommend James 1:27. It says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. To visit orphans in their affliction would be people that open their homes to these foster children that so desperately need their help. Another scripture that might apply would be Matthew 18:5. Whoever receives one such child in my name receiveth me. In other words, Jesus is saying here, whenever one of you that are called to this ministry of ministering to these poor children and open their home to these children, when you minister to these children, Jesus says, you're ministering unto me. And then finally, I think number 7 here, any ministry that the Lord puts in your hearts that helps others that we haven't mentioned so far. And so folks, it behooves us as members of the body of Christ to find out the ministry God has called us to and then to minister in that area. Now, as I say, we're all called to minister in lots of different areas once in a while, just to help people as they come across your path, just like the Good Samaritan helped the guy that was right in the middle of his path. If somebody's in the middle of your path, help them by all means. But at the same time, know that you have received a special ministry to minister in a certain area. And it's important, very important, that you get involved most of the time. Emphasize most of the time that ministry. Now, as we've gone through these ministries, and we're just about to finish up here, you may have wondered why there is not a separate ministry for preaching Jesus to others except in the full-time ministry of the evangelist. That is, preaching Jesus in the sense that getting people saved or telling them what Jesus did for them so that they can go to heaven when they die. So you may have wondered, where's the ministry of people that are called to do that? I know about the evangelists. That's a full-time ministry, but aren't, you know, some of us called to witness to others about Jesus? And the reason you don't see this as a sub-ministry, folks, is because we're all called to do that. Okay? Every single one of us. We're not all evangelists. I'm not saying that. We're not going to go all over the world and preach the gospel necessarily. But, folks, every single believer is called to tell others about Jesus and what he did on that cross. All of us. And that's why it's not separated out here as a separate sub-ministry. Because God thinks by this time, if you've been in church or if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you already know that we're all supposed to preach the gospel. I mean, if you go back and look at Mark 16 and Matthew 28, it says we're all supposed to go ye all into the world and preach the gospel to every man, all of us. And so, folks, that's the reason why we have not seen a sub-ministry in here of people who are specifically anointed to witness to others about Jesus Christ and what he's done for them on the cross. All of us are supposed to do this. As a matter of fact, all we Christians are commanded to do three different things. Number one, to love God and others. That's a commandment of the Lord. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you in John 13:34. Love one another as I have loved you. That means we put the other person first because that's what Jesus did for us. That's how he loved us. He put us first. Number two, to tell others about what Jesus has done for them on the cross. That's another thing we're all supposed to do. All of us, no matter what sub-ministry we have or full-time ministry, whatever it is, we're all supposed to tell others about what Jesus has done for them on the cross. And number three, we all have some sort of ministry we're called to fulfill. Now, if we're not a full-time minister, then we're called to fulfill one of these sub-ministries. Remember, I think it's Romans 11:29, it says, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That is, God has called you to do something, and he's not going to change his mind about what it is just because you want to do something else or get involved in another area. No. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That means God doesn't change his mind. Whatever he's called you to do, it's still there today. It's just as it was yesterday and just as it will be in the future. You need to move into that ministry, whatever it might be, and work and serve there. And folks, as I said before, if we don't, it's dangerous. I've seen people, folks, and I'm not going to get in this in any kind of detail, get involved in the wrong ministry. I have seen people that wanted to be pastors so bad they put themselves into that ministry. And then, folks, I have seen disasters when people moved into ministries they weren't called to. And so I won't go into any more detail. But I could tell you some really stories that are really sad about people that got involved in the wrong ministry simply because they thought it would be cool or neat to be in that ministry. Folks, we don't get into things that are cool and neat in our eyes. We get into things that we're called to do by God and anointed to do by the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, then things work out wonderfully. And so just be sure that when God calls you to a ministry, that you confirm it through him and ask God to confirm it for you so that you get involved in the right ministry. And folks, you won't have trouble with this if you're spending time before God in prayer and spending time in the Word. But the people I've known that have got wrapped up in the wrong ministries have been people that really weren't in the Word, and they weren't spending much time with God. They just wanted to get up before people and do something, and they got involved in the wrong thing. And so just be a little careful about that. Be sure that when you do get involved in the ministry God's called you to do. And so wrapping this whole thing up, wrapping up everything we've talked about here really in the past 30-some lessons since we started all these things way back a long time ago, I want to wrap it up all now. we're done. This is the last lesson in this series. But I want you to remember here, in conclusion, that whatever ministry God calls you to, it will also include a spiritual endowment from God that will enable you to fulfill that calling, whatever it is. It helps very much also to have the baptism in the Holy Spirit in fulfilling your call. And what do I mean by that? Well, we've had very many lessons on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That simply means that you experience the second experience after salvation, salvation being the first, of called the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues that empowers you to fulfill the call of God in your life. So if God calls you to an office, He will endow you with the spiritual gifts and equipment to fill that office. That's number one. Number two, if we are faithful to our calling, folks, we will receive a reward if we fulfill our calling. Our reward that we receive from God will be the same as those who are called to any other ministry, including the full-time ministry, who are faithful and fulfill their calling. So, folks, it isn't whether you're called to some global ministry. That's no more important than being called to the prison ministry or ministering in worship or anything else. What God looks at is, were you faithful to the call? That's what He wants to know. Did you fulfill the thing I called you to do? The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Folks, whatever God calls you to, if you fulfill that faithfully, you'll be rewarded to the same degree as anyone else. So God rewards faithfulness, not the importance that men may describe to the office. Number three, the overriding conclusion that we've come to in our discussion of all the various ministries in the body of Christ is that we all have a call to at least one of these ministries. If you're not a full-time ministry, then chances are your ministry falls somewhere under this broad ministry of helps that we've been discussing. And I hope by this time you've found or will find soon your calling in one of these sub-ministries that we've studied. Folks, I pray that you're going to respond to your call, whatever it may be, because you'll never feel fulfilled as a Christian until you do. If you're sitting out there listening to this and you feel unfulfilled as a Christian and you just feel generally that something is wrong in your life and you can't quite figure out what it is, it may be because you've never acted upon that deep urge the Lord has put in your heart for ministry. One time, I remember, I thought I was going to burst if I didn't teach pretty soon. And so I just prayed, God, you put this in my heart. You've got to find me a place to teach. And He did. And then after teaching extensively, many times I thought, well, I'm getting older now and I'm just about 76. I can just kind of go back and minister to the people in school and grade papers and things like that. And I'll be maybe done with putting up more lessons into the school. But God has shown me recently that you're never done until we leave this earth to be with Him forever. This is a ministry that is forever when He calls you to it, until you leave this planet. So, folks, we need to remember that we're still on this earth for a reason. And it's not just to raise a family or to go to work at some job, folks. If there wasn't a reason, another reason, for being on this earth, God would have raptured the church a long time ago. So the fact that we're still on this earth means something, doesn't it? Once we get saved, why doesn't God just zip us back to heaven? We're done. It's because God has called each one of us to do something on this earth. We're getting saved here for two reasons. One, to go to heaven and be with Him when we pass from this earth. And number two, to fulfill our ministry. We need to start looking, folks, at our jobs and raising families as a means to the end of doing what God has called us to do on this earth as well. Okay, what do I mean by that? I mean simply because that raising a family is good, having a job to support that family is good, but that's not all of it. If that was all of it, God would have raptured the church a long time ago. No, there's something else He has for us to do, each one of us, and that is to fulfill the ministry that God has called each one of us to do on this earth. This is the homework for lesson HBS 164. First question. The sub-ministry that is the subject of this lesson is called blank in Romans 12:7, which means blank. Let's fill in the blank. The sub-ministry that is the subject of this lesson is called ministry in Romans 12:7 of the King James Version, which means serving. So in those two blanks goes ministry and serving. Next question. This is another blank blank under the blank blank blank. Let's fill in that blank. This is another sub-ministry under the ministry of helps. Next question, true or false? Most Christians have some calling or ministry they are expected to fulfill. Is that true or false? Well, that is false, because all Christians have some calling or ministry they are expected to fulfill. So that word most isn't accurate. Next question. The ministry of serving is a broad ministry, much as the blank, blank, blank is a broad ministry. Fill in those blanks. The ministry of serving is a broad ministry, much as the ministry of helps is a broad ministry. Next question, true or false? By broad, we mean that the ministry encompasses many types of ministry. And that is true, folks. The ministry of serving, this ministry we're talking about today in this lesson, is a very broad ministry, just as the ministry of helps is a very broad ministry. Next question, true or false? Since this ministry of serving is so broad, many of us may find our place somewhere in this ministry. And that, folks, is true. In other words, if you haven't found your ministry yet through all the full-time ministries we've taught about and all the sub-ministries, the other five sub-ministries, look especially close here, because the odds are quite high that you'll find your ministry somewhere in this ministry. Next question. Fill in the blanks. The blank ministers to people's blank needs, but at the ministry of serving most generally ministers to people's blank or blank needs. Fill in those blanks. The full-time minister ministers to people's spiritual needs, but the ministry of serving most generally ministers to people's physical or material needs. So in those blanks goes full-time minister, spiritual, physical, and material. Next question. Name four types of ministry that may fall under this ministry of serving. Now, if you listen closely to our lesson, you'll find probably over a dozen ministries that will fall under this ministry of serving. So I want you to go back to the outline or to the lesson and find four types of ministry that may fall under this ministry of serving. I'm not going to tell you what they are, because by now you should know what these are yourself. Just any four of the ones that we've been talking about in this lesson. Next question. Where might one see many of these ministries in operation today? Let's answer that question. The answer to this question is the local church. Folks, many of the ministries we're talking about, this ministry of serving, this diakonia that we've been talking about in this lesson, are found in the local church, in all the ministries the local church has. Not just only found there, but many of them are found there. There's many other ministries under this broad ministry of serving that are found outside the church as well, that people just take upon themselves because they feel in their heart that this is what God wants them to do. But to answer this question, you could say the local church, because a lot of them are found there. Next question. As a sub-ministry of the Ministry of Helps, this ministry of serving others could also be taken to mean those who assist those in the blank, blank, blank. Fill in the blanks. Okay, let's fill them in. As a sub-ministry of the Ministry of Helps, this ministry of serving others could also be taken to mean those who assist those in the full-time ministry. So in these three blanks goes full-time ministry. Next question. The main difference between the full-time ministry and the ministry of serving we are studying in this lesson is that those in the full-time ministry may be used in the gifts of the Spirit, but never in this ministry. Is that true or false? Well, that's false, folks. God uses the gifts of the Spirit whenever He wills to help the person that's ministering under His anointing to get the job done. So sometimes He may use those in these part-time ministries, these sub-ministries, with the gifts of the Spirit as well as the full-time minister. So that's the reason this question is false. Next question. True or false? The six sub-ministries under the Ministry of Helps are full-time ministries. Is that true or false? Well, by definition, it's false. These are part-time ministries. They're not full-time ministries, but nevertheless important to God. God calls us to where He wants us to fit in. He doesn't make any distinctions based on what we want to do. When we're born, He knows exactly where He wants us to fit in the body of Christ and minister. And so if you're
not in a full-time ministry, then your ministry is probably going to be a part-time ministry. Answer to this question, then, is false. Next question. Give me an example of someone that started in this ministry of serving that later went on to become a full-time minister. Well, we know for sure there were seven deacons appointed in Acts chapter 6, and one of those seven that were serving tables that were in the part-time ministry went on to be a full-time ministry. And who was it? It was Philip. We know that for sure. And possibly Stephen, because it says that he was also a man full of faith and miracles. He worked great miracles and wonders among the people. But we do know Philip was a full-time minister. And how do we know? Well, give me a scripture that proves Philip was a full-time minister. And that would be Acts 21:8 that says Philip went on to become an evangelist, which is a full-time ministry. So to answer this question properly, you'd put in Philip in the first blank and Acts 21:8 in the second blank. Next question. What were the two qualifications the apostles used to select those into the serving ministry in Acts chapter 6? What were the two qualifications the apostle used? Well, number one, they wanted men who were honest. If you go back and read that, Acts chapter 6, it says, "Choose ye out among ye men who are honest." That was number one. And number two, men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So they wanted them honest, and they wanted them full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So that's what goes in those two blanks. Next question, true or false? Whatever ministry God calls you to, it may also include a spiritual endowment from God that will enable you to fulfill that calling. Is that true or false? Well, that is false. Whatever ministry God calls you to will certainly include a spiritual endowment from God that will enable you to fulfill that calling. So the reason this is false is because it says it may also include. Folks, it always includes help from God. God isn't going to just leave you on your own when he calls you to a ministry and let you flounder about on your own. No, if he calls you to some ministry, he will empower you to make you able to do whatever he's called you to do. And so this is false the way it's worded. What additional help to fulfilling your ministry is available in addition to the specific spiritual gift God gives you to fulfill your ministry? Well, the answer to this question is the baptism in the Holy Ghost, or the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or being filled with the Spirit, or whatever you want to call it. That additional blessing after salvation is available for everyone, and that is a great empowerment as well to help you fulfill the ministry that God has for you. So, to answer this question properly, you'd enter into this blank the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You could enter in the baptism in the Holy Ghost, of course, or you could put in being filled with the Spirit, whichever appeals to you the most. Next question, true or false? With God, one ministry is as important as another. God rewards faithfulness to whatever he calls you to do, not the importance that men may ascribe to the office. That is true, folks. God is looking for people to fulfill his will in the ministry he's called them to do. And if you do that, you can't do any better, because to try to do anything else would be a disobedience. So if you just fulfill the ministry God's called you to, whether it's a full-time ministry or a part-time ministry under the ministry of helps, God's going to reward you the same way he'll reward the full-time minister. Why? Because you were faithful to what God called you to do. So the answer to this question is true. Name three things that we all are to do in addition to our calling to a specific ministry. Well, the three things really are, we have some commandments from God, so we have to all do those. And what are they? To love God with all our heart, with all our strength, and with all our mind. That's number one. Number two, to love one another as Jesus loved us. That means putting the other person first. And the third one is to tell others about Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross, and to let people know that Jesus went to the cross for them and took all their sin, so there's nothing between them and God except accepting Jesus as their Savior. So the three things are, one, to love God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. And number two, to love one another as Jesus loved us. And number three, to tell others about Jesus. Now, the last question in this whole long series of lessons that we've done for quite some time now, I'm asking this question. If you have found your main calling from God and care to share it, please write it here. Now, you don't have to if you don't want to put that down. But this, I'm just interested. If you found your calling, share it with me if you would, please. So that then, folks, completes all the lessons and all the homeworks for this long series we've done on finding your place in the body of Christ.